listeners, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Campion, and this is another episode of One Guest, One Drink, One Question, the most refreshing pod on the net. Now, if you're new here, this is how it goes. Every episode, I'll bring on one new guest, we'll share one new drink, and I'll ask them one new question. In this week's episode, I have a longtime friend of mine. His name is Eric. Eric, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, Campion. Good to be here talking with you. Doing well. I just got back from a nice trip in Maine. Nice and refreshing long weekend. I'm hoping everyone got to get out and enjoy a little vacation time.
Awesome. That's so great to hear that you're refreshed. And, you know, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show and get even more refreshed today. So, Eric, what drink did you bring for us to share?
So today I brought a Corona hard seltzer. This is kind of a new thing for me to be enjoying these hard seltzer drinks or even just lighter beers in general. I'm usually more of an IPA guy. I like to take my coffee really strong. But I'm living out in New England now. We got hot summers and these nice, easy, drinkable, refreshing beverages really come in handy during this time of year. So this is the Corona hard seltzer and specifically the blackberry lime flavor.
Okay. And why a blackberry lime out of the four different flavors they have there?
So I've tried all four. I like all four of the flavors. This one I think is my favorite. And one of the reasons I like it is just because it's a nice, smooth, crisp flavor. And interestingly, I think it's also just a flavor that I would have never picked. But after having tried it, I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting combo, blackberry and lime. I love the purple kind of UW theme it's got going on, so that's super cool. Is there any reason you choose Corona over other spike seltzers? I know there's like so many brands out there.
Yeah. So I've tried, I'm not going to say I've tried a bunch of the different varieties, but you know, I've tried White Claw, I've tried the Bud Light seltzers. I like the Bud Light seltzers. The White Claws seem to me to be a little bit too sweet. I think my palate is more tuned for enjoying the bitterness of like an IPA or a strong coffee. So I like these because the sweetness is really toned back. Corona also makes a drink called the Refresco, which is a lot sweeter, more like a White Claw. So I like these because they're just really mellow.
Gotcha. Well, I'm super excited to get into it. You know, it's funny, it's a Corona during coronavirus, of course. So tradition on the show, though, before we can take our first sip, is to give a shout out or a toast. Do you have any of those for us today?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to give a shout out to my buddy Sam Glavik and his wife, Ariel. They just got married this past weekend. I was actually supposed to be the best man at their wedding, and because of COVID, things got shuffled around and they had to downsize the scale of their wedding. So I couldn't make it, which was a bummer. I've been in contact with Sam a little bit. Sounds like things went well. The photos look awesome. He's one of my longtime friends from middle school and high school. So I'm just real happy for them and wanted to give them a toast.
Awesome. Shout out to Sam and Ariel. Congrats on the wedding. I know that you're probably longtime listeners, and so I hope you're listening to this episode. I'm going to go ahead and crack my can open, and we can say cheers and take our first sip.
All right, let's do it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You know, the first thing that hit me right off the bat was the fizziness on this compared to any other hard seltzer I've had. Is just, you know, way better, smoother. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like compared to other ones, that it doesn't burn. It's like a fun fizz.
Yeah, exactly. It's I will say some of the other ones I've tried, like the Bud Light seltzers are good. But they've got like a sharp bite to the carbonation. And I just find these to be really smooth, really refreshing. You know, after you have one, you know, you're ready for another. They're just a good sessionable drink.
Definitely. Yeah. And it doesn't taste too sweet, like you said. Very almost healthy tasting. Obviously it's not, but definitely more so than the other seltzers, which lean towards like an alcoholic soda. This is more like a alcoholic water, you could call it.
Yeah, I like that they're a little bit less like synthetic tasting. At least they are to me. I think there's so many options out there. It really is just a preference thing.
Definitely. Well, great choice. I'm feeling quite refreshed over here. Are you all ready for the big question of the day?
Yeah, I'm all set. Let's go.
Sweet. Let's get into it. So I know that you're a big car enthusiast, and you know there's this big trend into electric cars. And so what I wanted to ask you is, you know, what, if any, pushback is there from the car enthusiast community on moving, you know, all vehicles from gas to electric?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll start by saying first that, you know, I'm no mechanical engineer or automotive engineer, but I have been a car enthusiast basically my whole life. So it's something that I spend a lot of time researching. I like to understand what's going on. And just from a personal perspective, I can kind of speak to what I enjoy and the things that I think about on this topic. So as far as what enthusiasts look for, that I think maybe your average consumer doesn't quite understand. There's with automobiles, and you could extend this to motorcycles, basically anything mechanical like that. You look for this sense of engagement, like, you know, driver engagement. So kind of in the same way, I was trying to think of some sort of analogies or comparisons that we could make to other items. You could think of one that I thought of that I think is very applicable to, let's say, the Teslas, especially the Model 3, that's moved completely everything. Every function of the car is moved to software, is moved to a touchscreen.
Yeah.
It's very much in line with what we've seen in the industry of cell phones. So you think of, you know, 10, 15 years ago when we were using BlackBerries and you had the very tactile scroll wheel and you had an individual dedicated button for your various functions. And while it was a little bit more limited on functionality and adaptability, there was also a sense of there was a sense of purpose, right, with each of those buttons. There was a sense of tactility with every function, everything you do with the phone. And then there was also a novelty to when the next version comes out, or if you have a BlackBerry and someone else has some other device, that there's these differences that make the experience unique. But when it's just, when every phone now is a single slab of glass, the experience becomes a little bit diluted in a sense. So to bring it back to cars, the pushback, I think, from enthusiasts, from more the mainstream, I think, is that your electric car has no gears to shift. It doesn't make any sound when you put your foot on the accelerator pedal. And while they are extremely fast in a straight line, one of the things that comes along with an electric car is increased weight. And that's because the lithium batteries that are used in electric cars weigh a lot. And they're, in order to have the reasonable range for an electric car, you've got to have a large battery. So it just adds weight to the vehicle. And one of the things that enthusiasts look for is a light vehicle. It makes it fun, you know, to drive around corners and things like that.
Totally. Interesting. So for electric cars, is it, I guess going back to the touchscreen analogy, is it like everyone kind of feels the same because you don't get that tactile response from the gas pedal?
Well, I wouldn't say that that's the case. And as more of these companies come out with different electric cars, you know, they certainly are differences from one to another. In terms of the way they drive, in the same way that you would think of differences with your average car, you know, your Honda Civic versus your Toyota Corolla. Like, there's going to be subtle differences there. I think it has more to do with when you think about a sports car or a sporty car, you think about something that's an event to drive, right? Like manual transmission, yeah. You're rowing through the gears, it's involving instead of the experience fading away into the back of your mind, it's something that's right at the front of the mind that you're really engaged in. When you remove things like engine sound, exhaust note, gears to shift, where you're, you know, if you're using a manual transmission car, you're using your left foot as well as your right foot, and your right hand on the gear lever, your left hand on the steering wheel. So your whole body is involved. And then by contrast, you hop in your Tesla and you turn on autopilot and you can literally fall asleep. You're not supposed to, but you could literally fall asleep while you're driving. It's just, it goes against what enthusiasts in the automotive industry have been chasing for decades. So it's an interesting thing to see. And I think a lot of enthusiasts are sad to see that technology kind of taking over, because it really is. There's no question about it. And there's very good reason for it, right? There's environmental reasons. The ownership experience of electric cars is so simple. You don't ever have to go get an oil change and, you know, various fluid changes. For a daily driver, for someone who's doesn't really care about the enthusiast experience, they just want the easiest experience. I mean, it's fantastic. No question about that.
Is a good analogy, like, you're going from driving a car yourself, like you're in control of this beast, to being driven around, like you click a button on your Tesla, right? And it just takes you somewhere. Is that a good comparison? Like, who's in control of the vehicle?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can think of really any sort of old time, not hobby, but activity that maybe technology has come in and made the process easier. I mean, you could even scale it back, and you could think about how people reacted when the first, you know, production car came out. You know, people were relying on horses and horse-drawn carriages, and then suddenly you had Henry Ford selling the Model T, and undoubtedly there were all these benefits. But even today, you have people that like to, you know, own horses and even ride around in a horse and carriage for fun. Obviously it's way, way less common and people aren't doing it in a practical sense, but people hang on to that because there's something appealing about, the process, right? It's an interesting shift, you know, and I think it's going to take some time because there's an infrastructural challenge with electric cars before they can become truly mainstream. But it'll be interesting to see how things progress over time, because I think the enthusiasts are really worried that as the mainstream customer starts buying only electric vehicles, the manufacturers of these vehicles are going to stop making these gasoline powered enthusiast, you know, manual transmission, interactive, engaging vehicles. And that makes it obviously very difficult for the automotive enthusiast community to kind of continue on.
Yeah, like it's hard, I guess, like it's hard to find a typewriter these days, but you can find a keyboard or a computer super easily, right? What do you think about like sports car companies that make electric cars? So not Tesla, which is more of like a common car company, but like a Porsche Taycan.
Yeah.
You know, where does that come into play?
That's a great question. And I am actually a huge Porsche fan. So very good, very good question in terms of, you know, enthusiast perspective. I will say it's, I think, a mixed response. I think the appeal with something like the Taycan is it's extremely fast, and it's cool to look at, and the technology inside is really cool. You know, for the people that can afford it, obviously it's a niche item and a very high price tag, but you know, it's a very cool piece of engineering. Do I lust after it the same way that I lust after a 911, which is their main, you know, that they've been making 911 for over 50 years, various evolutions of it, and different models, or even their lower trim Boxster Cayman, which is far less expensive than the Taycan and far slower. You know, do I want the Taycan as much as those other models? No, not really. And I, honestly, not even close. And really, it's because the reason I would buy a 911 or another model like that is because I would want it as a fun weekend car to have. It's more of a toy. It's more of to have as an experiential thing. And the Taycan, while certainly providing an intense experience in terms of how fast it is in a straight line, it's, I've heard it compared to, like, it's like watching a movie with sound off, right? And that's one of the biggest one of the biggest things, right? When you hop in a car and you push the accelerator pedal all the way to the floor and you get thrust back in your seat, which is exciting, but think of how much more exciting it is when you hear a you know, a loud engine and an exhaust and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is the same reason why there's so many people that are still into their Harley Davidsons and things like that. You know, think of the loud exhaust, loud engine, right? People like that. There's something exciting about it. That feels powerful, even if they're not extremely fast. There's something about the experience. The sound is, you know, it's a whole sense. It's, you know, one of your main senses that you're just, it just isn't there in that piece of engineering. So it's a challenging thing to work around.
Interesting. Yeah. And like they can simulate it as best as they can, but there's no substitute for the real thing.
Oh yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, and even for that reason, you know, when I think about if I was to get a second car right now, I daily drive a 2018 Volkswagen Golf GTI. It's a 4-cylinder turbocharged hatchback. It's got a manual transmission. You know, it's not super fast, but it's relatively fast. It's a practical but still fun vehicle. It doesn't sound especially great, but it sounds interesting enough. When I think about, okay, if I was to get like a second car that's just for fun, I wouldn't even consider an electric vehicle. I would be looking at like an older Corvette or an older Mustang, something with a V8, something that is like, it doesn't even have to be as fast as my Volkswagen. It could just be something like something loud and interesting, right?
Just to cruise around.
Exactly.
And enjoy.
Just something that when you get in it and you take it for a drive, it puts a smile on your face and it's like a, you know, much like our Corona seltzers, right? It gives you like a fizzy experience.
Exactly. And that is a good way to bring us to a close of this episode. Eric, before we go, do you have any final shout outs you'd like to give?
Well, I do want to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Patrick. He recently got a promotion at his company, and I believe will be moving to London to help kind of expand their business. So super exciting for him. I know what it's like to relocate completely, and it's not super easy. You and I both know some people who've done that recently. But the fact that he's going to a totally different country is definitely very cool and super huge. So congratulations to him.
Definitely. Shout out to Patrick, you know, making waves over there in the UK. Maybe he'll get one of those James Bond cars while he's there.
Yeah, well,
we can only hope.
We'll convince him to get an Aston Martin for sure.
Exactly. So, Eric, thank you so much for spending time to be on today's show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And listeners, of course, thank you so much for tuning in this week. As you know, of course, this is the most refreshing new pod on the net. Every episode, we bring on one new guest, we share one new drink and we ask one new question. We'll catch you next time. Stay safe in Seattle.